love. We have this series that we've been looking at, which is I Seek, I Pray, which I spoke on last week. And this morning I'm going to be talking about I Love. And we're going to be looking at what it means for us to have a relationship of love with God and how we can express that love to one another. There was a pastor who always started each service off with this phrase. He would say, "The Lord be with you." And the people would respond, "Also with you." However, one Sunday, the sound system wasn't working that well. And the pastor stepped up to the pulpit and said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And everybody said, "And also with you." All right? Okay. I know you wouldn't say that to me, so it's all right. Okay, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. I'm reading from the Message Bible. And here Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's laws and the prophets hangs on them." Jesus was being challenged by a number of Sadducees because he'd challenged or addressed some issues with the Pharisees, and so they ganged up against him and they wanted to catch him out and tell us which is the most important of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, to the core of it, and he gave them these instructions, which are our instructions for living our life of love and our relationship with God and with one another. But before we look at what Jesus meant for us to follow and to follow through with the instructions from this verse, it is critical for you and me to understand this. You need to understand that God loves you unconditionally. That God loves you unreservedly. That God's love is without reservation. His love for you is not based on your performance. It's not based on your past, your present, or your future. It's not based on your socio-economical status. He loves you without measure. And his love for you is not a measure against how much you have done for him or have not done for him. He just loves you. Can you get this? That God just loves you. I love when Yomi said earlier on, so often we think God is against us. We live our lives because things go wrong. We say, "God must be against me." Listen, God is never against you. He is always for you. Because love seeks for you to become better, for you to grow, to become stronger, to come through the challenges. He loves you in your sin. He loves you as a sinner. He loves you as a saint. And we need to understand, and I love this phrase which typifies what the true grace of God is. There is nothing I can do for God to love me any less. And there's nothing more I can do for God to love me anymore. That is what it means to be loved by God. Do you really understand what it means to be loved by God? I want you to think for a moment really seriously about this. I want you to understand as I say these words, God loves you. I want you to say to yourself, God loves me. I don't whisper it, come on. I mean, when you first see your girlfriend or boyfriend, "You love me, of course I love you." It's like, come on, God loves me. Come on, the creator of this world, of this universe, who knit you together in your mother's womb, is reminding you this morning that he, come on, say that again, God loves me. With confidence, with passion, with understanding. God loves me. One more time. God loves me. I'll tell you another, but God loves you. That's good. God loves us with an agape love. The love described in 1 Corinthians, which is about patience, long-suffering, and the wholeness that's there. That's godly love. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you, that you might have an everlasting life. Christ loves you so much that while you were yet a sinner, the Bible says he died for you. God's love for you is unconditional and unreserved. He loves you in spite of your disobedience, your weakness, your sin, and your selfishness. He loves you enough to provide a way to abundant eternal life. From the cross, Christ cried out. When those horrid, wretched, condemned criminals were hung alongside him, one of them said, and as he watched the people who crucified him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If Jesus could love us in the midst of death, he loves you now that he is alive even more. And I want us to understand that. 1 John chapter 4, 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." It's very hard to love when you don't feel unloved, when you don't believe that you are loved. And so the starting point of us establishing, developing, and growing in a relationship of love is knowing that you are loved. Now the thing is this, we look for love from human beings, which is not wrong. But they do not have the capacity to love us the way that God loves us. Because we are fallen human beings, because we are sinners, filled with sin, and we are not perfect human beings. And so when we look at the illustrations of love that we have experienced, and usually primarily from our parents or from other peers as we've been growing up, we say, if my father could not have loved me, if my mother struggled to love me the way I expected her to, how could God love me? And this is something we have to understand, that even though whilst human beings may fail us in their expression of what love is, God's love for you remains the same. And I want you not to connect with your illustration or your experience of love on the earth, but look above to the perfect love of God that is available to you and me. When you comprehend how much God loves you and all that he has done for you, it liberates you to love him back. It's amazing. Some people say, I struggle to really understand what it means to love God. And I soon discovered the issue is not that they're unable to love God, they're unable to love themselves. I'm going to unpack this in a bit. So how do I love God? Do you want to know? How can I love God? Love the Lord your God with all passion and prayer and intelligence. So loving God is not throwing your brains out. It's not just an emotional, "Oh, I'm in love with you, God." No, but it involves what? Passion. It involves communication. And it involves you using the capacity that God has given you, your brain, which involves your will to love him. So my love for God is not based on a sort of curve of an up and a down and up and a down, spikes and troughs, but it is based on the fact that I have the ability to make a choice to love him or not to. That's how powerful God has created you and me. But Jesus said the most important thing, the first on any list should be this, that you love the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, show this by doing what I've told you to do." So our love is never just an expression of emotion, but it is about a follow-through with action. John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, "The person who knows my commands and keeps them, that's one who loves me." The disciples were talking about this whole issue with Jesus, and he said, "Listen, I know the guys who love me because they do what I ask them to do. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him." In other words, he will understand who I am. And so your journey of understanding God begins with loving him. It begins with making that choice to say, God, I am going to love you. On the understanding that you are loved unconditionally. There's nothing you can do for God to love you any less. And there is nothing more you can do for God to love you any more. Have you understood that? Can you say that to me? There is nothing I can do for God to love me any less. There's nothing more I can do for God to love me any more. God loves me the way I am. Isn't that good? Our love for God is demonstrated by a life that is in Christ by faith. And it is empowered by grace and lived in obedience to His Word. Our love for God is evident not just by what we say, but must be backed up by what we do. Now again, what we do, but I can't be perfect. God's not asking you to be perfect. He's already perfected you. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are made righteous. He has already perfected you. But He wants in that supernatural spiritual perfection for you to align your bodily thinking and your emotions and your attitudes to that and say, God, I want to choose to love. Here's the challenge. Jesus never keeps it easy. He says, He takes it another step. And Jesus said, He took it to another step. He said, but Jesus, let me say this again, but Jesus took this to a step further when He said, but there is a second to set alongside the first. Love others as you do what? Love yourself. This is a class in psychology. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs on them. What's the first command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love others, love your neighbor, as you do what? You see, the problem is not the neighbor. God, if I had better neighbors, if I had a better spouse, if I had a better brother, if I had a better sister, if I had a better mother, if I had a better friend, I would be perfect. I'd be able to love everybody. That's why Tina Turner said, what's love got to do? The problem was not Ike Turner, although he was a terrible husband, but when she understood, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I'm going to illustrate something. This is two kinds of people. Ping pong people. This is Mr. Perfect. He says, my life's good, everything's working well, you know, I'm a really good guy, and I know God loves me, and I love God, and everything's fine, and you know what? I go to church every week, I give faithfully, I do a lot of good things, and this, I want you to understand, is symbolic of God's love, this whole bit of water. And this guy goes in there and he says, oh, he's enjoying his life with God. Oh, it's so much fun. He bounces about. Is he abiding in God's love? Is he in God's love? What is he doing? He's floating. He's one of those surfers. You know, he's surfing God's love. But then there's another guy that's acknowledges that he's not perfect, and he's got holes all over the place. He's been hurt. He's been through challenges. He's been angry with people. He's been through the mill in life. He says, you know what, God, I'm a broken person. And I understand that in my brokenness, I can come to you as I am. He's not like this guy, all pretending to be perfect. And he jumps. The Bible says what this? God is love, and whoever abides in love, God abides in him. And so he comes here, and he begins to abide in God's love, and he digs deep into God's love. What happens to him? Is he floating? Why isn't he floating? This guy's full of hot air. The Bible says clanging cymbals. He looks whole. He presents himself as whole, but he has not understood that you need to be real when you come to God. Come in your brokenness, in your sin, and God. This other guy came in his brokenness and sin, and he surrendered his life to God. Who do you think is abiding in God right now? And what do you think is abiding in him? Look at that. God is abiding in him. You understand this? And this is what Jesus meant. He was using the analogy of the vine. I'm using the analogy of water. And for us, do you want to live your life like this, bobbing about? Or do you want to come to a place in your life where God is in you? And you are completely surrendered to the ocean of God's love. And you're not surfing it, but you're deep. And God is in you, and you are in God, and that's working. If you wish to befriend somebody, look for a person who first loves God, then themselves. If they love God, they will be able to love their neighbor. If they love God, they will be able to love their neighbor too. This was said by Peter Dunoff. He was an author. Here's a joke. A priest is giving a homily based on Jesus' commandment to love your enemies. He says, I bet that many of us feel as if we have many enemies in our lives. And he says to the congregation, raise your hands if you have many enemies. And quite a few people raise their hands. Now raise your hands if you have only a few enemies. And about half as many people raise their hands. Now raise your hands if you have only one or two enemies. And even fewer people raise their hands. See, says the priest, most of us feel like we have enemies. And I'm sure if I asked you this question, you would do the same. Now raise your hands, he said, if you have no enemies at all. And the priest looked around, and he looks around, and finally, way in the back, a very old woman raises her hand, and he stands up and says, a very old man rather stands up and says, I have no enemies whatsoever. Delighted, the priest invites him to the front of the church, and he says, what a blessing, the priest says. How old are you? He said, oh, I'm 98, and I have no enemies. The priest says, what a wonderful Christian life you have lived. And tell us, how is it that you have no enemies? He said, the whole lot of them have died. We need to understand that the challenge in life is not the other person, but us. What does it mean to love yourself? Loving yourself is what empowers you to love others. Jesus is not referring to being lovers of self, because the Bible says, do not be lovers of self. But the Bible does tell us to love ourselves. To love yourself is to accept yourself for who you are. For you to accept yourself for who you are. When you look at yourself in the mirror, when you see who you are in the state that you're in right now, if you can begin to love yourself, you begin to change your destiny. Why is it that people end their lives? Because they have lost that ability to love themselves. Why is it that people will get hurt and will harm themselves and do anything? Because they feel that they are not worthy of being loved. Because they believe wrongly that they are no good. That I don't love myself. So my life does not matter. I want to deal with that false lie that exists. So many of our emotional issues stem from this core wrong belief that we believe. And yes, horrible things, God, have happened to each one of us. But we need to come back to what God says about you and me. And he says, no matter what's happened to you, I love you unconditionally. Can you say to yourself, I am loved the way I am? That's powerful. If you can begin to do that right now, when you wake up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror. When you go through the day and you blow and you think, oh God, I wish I could be different. If you could just begin to love yourself. Why? Because you know God loves you. And he has given you the permission to love yourself. When you begin to love yourself, your neighbor is not that bad. Your friend who annoys you at work is not so irritating anymore. Your tolerance level changes because you're not fighting with yourself. There is no inner conflict. There is peace. To love yourself is not a selfish, egocentric approach to life, but it is about being whole and integral in your understanding of yourself in relationship to God and your life. That God loves you, fashioned you, you are unique, loved, and accepted by God. John chapter 14, 34 says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. You see the connections? Love one another as who has loved me? I have loved you, so that you must love one another. We try and love people without an understanding of God's love. It's hard because we are so busy trying to sort ourselves out. But if we can come to that place. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 says this. He said, there is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. In other words, do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. Add up God's laws and prophets and this is what you get. So what does it mean to love my neighbor? Certainly, we are to love God supremely. Sometimes we are so in love with our neighbor, we forget about the love of God. And when the neighbor lets us down, we say, God, where are you? But what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? There is in scripture called the royal rule. It's from the book of James chapter 2 verse 8. It says, you do well when you complete the royal rule of scripture. Love others as you love yourself. Jesus was quoting from Leviticus 19 when he described the verse that I read at the beginning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He was addressing the Sadducees and Pharisees who understood the book of the law. They understood what it meant to love your neighbor because in the Old Testament, it was chalked out what it meant to love your neighbor. And that has not changed through generations. And I'm going to read that for you. This is what it meant from the book of Leviticus chapter 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyards, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, not put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the God. You shall do no injustice in judgment, or you shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord your God. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, include sisters as well. You shall surely not rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's a mouthful of instructions from God. But he was summing it up. So what does it mean for you and me this morning? How convinced are you that God loves you unconditionally? What kind of a person are you? Are you a bobbing ping pong? Or are you deep, engulfed, encompassed by God's love, by a sunken ping pong ball? What kind of a person are you? You see, I want to encourage you to be like this guy at the bottom. What he's feeling is the pressure and the weight of God's love. There is no emptiness within him because he is filled with God's love. And you know what allowed God's love into his life was his brokenness. What allowed God's life love in his life were his willingness to open up his life to God. Unlike Mr. Ping Pong, all perfect. I'm all sorted out. I need to show. Log kya bolenge agar kuch khadda dekhenge mere life mein. Also, ekdam akka hai. Akka se bahar hai, lekin andar se. The choice is yours this morning. For God, for you to experience what it means to abide in God's love. And for you to know that when you begin to understand how much God loves you, you begin to love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, you can love you. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you would really give us a clear revelation in plain sight for us to understand the love that you have for us. And that we would seek to dive right in the ocean of your love and surrender our lives and our wills to you completely and be engulfed and abide in you. And in doing that, I pray that we would love ourselves more than we did before we walked in. God, if you love us so much, why should we even consider for a moment what you consider good enough to be not good enough? Thank you, God, you love me. And you love me unconditionally. And this morning, I want to surrender my life to you completely. I want to choose to follow you. I want to be loved by you and to be full of your love. I surrender my life to you this morning, Lord, and choose to live my life for you from this day on. In Jesus' name I pray.